This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with another day of Ramadan and quickly getting towards the midpoint of this month of Ramadan, and how quickly it has gone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with what remains of it. Ameen. We have completed three sections of Surah Al-Kahf. And just as a quick recap, the first section we said are the first 10 verses, which is a protection from Dajjal. That first 10 verses was about the concept. Allah is introducing the theme of the surah, that there's fitna, that life will be challenging. You will have tests of ease and tests of difficulty. And the one thing that will be constant in your life, people will fail you, your family might even fail you, your health, your wealth will fail you. But the one thing that will be consistent in your life is the Quran, and this is your refuge, this is your safe place. Then Allah spoke about a group of people, the youth of the cave, who ran to the cave when they were in persecution. They avoided fitna as best they could, and then they stayed in the cave to run away from this persecution, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then went into detail describing their story. And we learn from, of course, the people of the cave, you know, the importance of having good company, the importance of finding a solution, that when you're confronted with fitna, the best thing you can do is to try and extract yourself from it. And for us, our cave, our protection is the Quran. The third section, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about speaking without knowledge, guessing, and especially ulama who debate unnecessarily questions, asking, were the people of the cave four, were they five, what about the dog, what color is the dog? These are unnecessary information. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even told the Prophet, peace be upon him, because he forgot to say insha'Allah, that don't you even speak without knowledge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says to us, Allah puts the challenge, so now that the truth has come from Allah, your choice to believe or disbelieve, that is your choice. This is the life that we live in. It's what we make of it will ultimately determine our destination in the Akhirah. So Allah spoke about a garden that will last forever. The previous ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ تَجْرِي. That for those who believe, those who follow this guidance, they will have a garden that will never ever die. An eternal, eternal reward. And now Allah will speak about gardens in the next section, the fourth section of the surah. It is the parable of the man who had two gardens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the 32nd ayah, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا رَجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَابٍ وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا. So Allah says, and put forward to them the example of two men. Whether this example was actually really two men, two believers, or if this is a parable, something which Allah is putting forward, the scholars are not in agreement with regards to that. But the meaning really applies to all of us. So look at this example. Allah says, I give you the example of two men. One of them, we had given him two gardens of grapes, and we had surrounded both those gardens of grapes with date trees, and we put between them fields of crops. كلتا الجنتين آتت أكلها ولم تظلم منه شيئا وفجرنا خلالهما نهرا. That these two gardens brought forth its produce, and they never committed dhulm. Dhulm, we said, is to commit transgression. Meaning, his fields, his crops, his date trees, they never ever failed in the least. They always produced, he gave him a profit. And on top of that, Allah says, we caused a river to gush forth in the midst of them. Now, side note here, someone asked about with regards to Jannah and with regards to these things. Understand that the Quran was revealed, it's for all time, but it was revealed 1,500 years ago to the Arabs. So for them, the highest form of wealth will be gardens and palm trees and those things. Perhaps if we made it relevant to this day, Allah is saying, think of a guy who was given with, you know, he had massive plots of land. You know, people lived in these two massive, huge complexes that they lived in, and surrounded it with skyscrapers. And in the middle of it, he had like an oil field. And he had countless cars, and he had countless kinds of different investments. And none of his investments ever failed. Every single one of it gave him the maximum return. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمَرٌ. And on top of all of that, he had ثَمَرٌ. Yeah, it means fruits, but he could say he had other properties. He had all kinds of investments. So remember, Allah says, I'm giving you the parable of two men. One of those men, we gave him all these bits of wealth. And it's interesting to see how Allah says, جَعَلْنَا, we gave him, حَفَفْنَاهُمَا, that we put within it those trees. We gave him every single one of these things. We gave it to him. فَقَالْ لِصَاحِبِهِ So now Allah hasn't even told us about the other man. And Allah has, so Allah described the wealth of the one person, Allah doesn't describe the wealth of the second person, meaning that other second person has nothing. He basically has no wealth. So now these two guys are getting together and they talk. وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ And during the midst of conversation, he said, أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَعَزُّ نَفَرًا I am someone, so the rich man said to the poor man, Don't you see that I have more wealth than you, and I even have more helpers, more children than you, better children than you. My wealth and my children, I am a better person than you. Side note here. We mistakenly assume that wealth and poverty is synonymous with success and failure. Even with our kids, when we raise them, we tell them, you need to go through school, and you need to work hard. Why? So that you can become wealthy one day. Wealth, we have taken it to be equal to success. This man, the wealthy person, automatically thought, because I have more than you, I am better than you. This was the first sin that he did. He automatically believed that his wealth made him better. And Allah said in the previous ayat, I gave him that. None of those things he could do from his own self. The water in the ground, the plants that grow, the water that comes from the sky, those things, no control does he have from himself. This is purely from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, and we take this from our side today, when we look at success, we should not look and measure a person's worth in terms of his bank balance, in terms of how much they have. That is not what success entails. Like, if you think about it, we enter the world in the same way with nothing, we leave the world on the same way with nothing. There's no rich or poor when it comes to the grave. Everyone ends on the same way they start. Poverty and wealth are merely tests. One person is going to be tested with poverty. That will be his challenge and struggle in life. Another person will be tested with wealth. How he earned it, how he spent it, what will he do with it? And as I said before, the Sahaba and the people of knowledge and understanding, they always feared the test of knowledge, more than the test of poverty. They saw wealth as a very, very burdensome thing. Because, you know, in the dunya, a part of my job, probably the worst part of my job, is when I get audited. You know, the auditors come and they question you on every single thing. This is like the most challenging part. Now, there will be an audit on the day of Qiyamah, where every cent that you earn, every cent that you use, will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore the Sahaba, out of their own, you know, concern for themselves, they discharge their wealth in the dunya. Also something to think about here, when Allah speaks about the wealth, Allah again says, I gave it to him. Everything is on loan. Everything is on lease. Even, that's why when you die, you have no say in your will. Your will doesn't belong to you. Because Allah loaned you that money. When you die, He takes it back and He distributes it to whom He wants. Not to the son or the daughter that you prefer. It goes to whomever they want. I end off with this. So Allah says that these two men, they were actually friends. And during the course of their conversation, The one said, I am more than you in wealth and stronger in respect of men. Meaning, I'm a better person than you. Now, he didn't just knock on the door and says, Assalamu alaikum Ahmad, I'm just here to tell you that I'm richer than you and I'm a better person than you. Jazakallah khair, Assalamu alaikum. No, Allah says, وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُ In the course of the conversation. How many of us are guilty of this? That during the course of our dialogue with people, we like to flash that which we have. Nothing wrong to have nice things, but we like to flash it in a way that makes others feel inferior. We like to show off our wealth. We like to, in the midst of a conversation, and says, oh, you know what, and it's usually phrased in a way, you know, oh, I had such a terrible, terrible holiday, you know, I went and it was 5-star and everything, but you know, the room, the AC, it wasn't working properly. Oh, and by the way, where did you go? What did you do? And you know this person does not have that kind of lifestyle. And you put pressure on these people to match a certain lifestyle. It creates resentment. We live in one of the most unequal countries in the world. And we can see the resentment building up, bubbling up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, one of the evils of wealthy people, we'll talk about poor people as well, each one is a test, but one of the sins and one of the evils of a wealthy person is that they use their wealth to make others feel inferior. They use their wealth to belittle others. And in fact, in reality, this is kind of an inferiority complex in themselves, that they measure themselves as well in their possessions. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, wealth is not in terms of what you possess, but it is the richness of your heart. That one person can be very, very satisfied with a little, and another person has so many things, but he's constantly thinking about the next acquisition, the next thing that he doesn't have. He's constantly thinking about the things he doesn't have, where someone else appreciates the little that he has. One of the things of Ramadan is to show that the things that you have, and we took for granted throughout the day, just that glass of water, that, you know, leftovers in the fridge, how much we appreciate it, how much we should be appreciating it. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to teach us in this month of Ramadan. The little that you have, there is so much of wealth in it, that in reality, we are all wealthy people. We are all privileged people. So may Allah grant us the understanding. May Allah grant us appreciation. May Allah grant us not to be deceived with wealth. We'll continue with the story and see how this man's wealth actually ruined him in the dunya and perhaps even in the akhirah. May Allah protect us. Ameen. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.